Hello and welcome to the A Perspective with me, Andrew Skipper. I'm head of the Africa practice for international law firm Hogan Lovells and a member of the UK government's Africa Investors Group. I'm passionate about doing business in Africa and providing legal support for companies who are invested in the continent's future. Through these podcasts, I'll be exploring how business and government are working together in Africa, particularly as we navigate our way through the current COVID-19 pandemic. In January, I was in London at the first ever UK-Africa Investment Summit when Prime Minister Boris Johnson said that the UK offers something different and mutual, and he committed boldly to working side by side every step of the way as the partner of choice for African governments. But what does that mean, especially in the face of a global pandemic? Hasn't the UK got enough on its plate with its own war against COVID, and won't it first have to focus on economic problems closer to home? My guest today is Emma Wade-Smith. Emma is the UK Trade Commissioner for Africa, based in South Africa, and she's joining me today from Johannesburg. Welcome, Emma.
Thanks, Andrew.
It's strange days indeed. We last met in Cape Town, I think, having a nice coffee at the Mining Indaba, which was a world and a lifetime away. What's been your main focus in Africa since then?
Well, as you say, I mean, it feels as if the world has turned on its axle since just, what, 6 weeks ago.
Yeah.
But, you know, the big focus for us is obviously trying to understand what the immediate impact of COVID-19 is on UK exports to Africa, UK investments in Africa, and indeed African exports to the UK. So really trying to understand and analyse what is happening in terms of trading restrictions, supply chain disruptions, financing challenges, and all of that stuff that our companies are experiencing every day now. And to work really closely with them on the basis of that information to try to unlock where we're seeing problems, to try to reconnect supply chains, to find ways around restrictions on exports and imports so that our companies can continue to do what they do best, you know, do good business and employ people.
So after the summit in January, there was, I mean, I found a great buzz of positive sentiment about the UK and Africa from my friends. And you then brought together the Africa Investors Group with companies who have a track record of investment and really want to support the initiatives. Now the dust has settled, how do you see that group developing, and has that role changed due to coronavirus?
The Prime Minister really took that moment to reinforce the importance that the UK places on Africa, our long-term partnership, and our intention to continue to grow that trade and investment relationship. So it really was an extraordinary moment. And as part of the follow-up to that, you know, not only have we continued in more commercial deals, investments and exporting deals get over the line, so we're now at over £15 billion worth of deals that were secured as a result of that summit. But we also, as you say, created the Africa Investors Group, which is bringing together the UK government's public sector leverage and insights alongside long-established UK investors who know how to invest and sustain that investment in Africa. So the group has met once. I'm hoping that we'll be able to meet again remotely soon. And I'm really helping to set the framework for that strategy and then to drive more investment flows to help us understand actually what it means to be a UK investor across Africa and to use that knowledge to inspire more companies, not only to consider Africa, but actually to take the plunge and invest in Africa themselves.
Yeah, and I think it's very important that the private and public sector work together. But going back to what the Prime Minister said, I mean, he made a very bold statement that the UK investment and partnership is good, if not better, for Africa. Can you just put in a nutshell why a partnership with the UK is best?
Well, it might have to be a slightly large nutshell, but I'll give it a go.
You can have a coconut shell.
You're too kind. I think one of the things that we really focus on when we look at the investment relationship is the unique role of the City of London and the London Stock Exchange and the extraordinary value of of assets that go through the City of London every day, and how important London has become for African businesses, looking to either, you know, list a company on the stock exchange in London, or to raise capital there in other ways to connect to the investor community. And we've got an extraordinary, vast, diverse investor community across the United Kingdom. And what we're looking to do is tap into that. No one else, I think, in the world has the range and the diversity that we have in the UK, not to mention the fabulous African diaspora communities that exist across the UK. And, of course, we also do business, we do good business. We do it in the right way. And it's not just about making money, which companies must do, otherwise they don't exist, but it's about doing good business in the right way and supporting the creation, the development, the enhancement of Africa's talented people in local workforces and helping to build local supply chains.
You've said in the past that you want UK companies to look beyond traditional capitalism. Is that the sort of thing you mean?
Yeah, look, I think that's just an extraordinary opportunity to do business in a way that suits everybody. You know, I mean, it's really inspiring when I travel around Africa and I see what UK companies are doing. And just before the lockdown, I was in Ghana, for example, and I met the new head of Unilever in Ghana. And it's an extraordinary, heartwarming story of somebody who started at Unilever as a young man and has worked his way through over the years and is now heading up that factory, a world-class factory, which through kind of creating and supporting the talent that's in that local workforce has actually reduced their carbon emissions by, I think, 70%. And is doing a fantastic job in supporting local labour. So, you know, and those examples are replicated all across the continent.
Could you give me some good examples of what we're doing practically in the UK, in Africa at the moment? For example, in terms of COVID, some of the issues around vaccines and things like that.
Yeah, so I think I'm right in saying that we are the largest single bilateral donor to the support for finding a vaccine. And of course, we've got some terrific companies in the pharmaceutical sector who are leading the way along with our world-leading, world-class scientists in vaccines and looking at new drugs and therapeutics and so on. We've put many millions of pounds towards global health response, including through the WHO, and supporting in a number of different ways as well. And what it's worth sort of shouting out actually about just a few examples of what UK companies are doing. And so, of course, you know, with lockdowns all over the continent, we're seeing UK companies such as Twinkle, Cambridge University Press, Open University, Get My Grades. You know, they're making available their bespoke and online learning and teaching solutions to children, to adults, and to schools and universities. So that whole EdTech piece is an extraordinary example of UK and Africa collaboration and support. But we're also seeing companies like Unilever, you know, making available, you know, their sanitation products, you know, $100 million worth of that that they have made available. Diageo has turned some of their alcohol into hand sanitizer and distributing that across the continent as well. So, you know, there's all sorts of stuff going on, but, you know, and so much more. So, you know, there is an example. I mentioned this because we had, of course, the wonderful example in the UK of people completely obsessing about toilet roll. And what I think a lot of us didn't realize is that Egypt actually provides some of the sort of the paper raw materials for a UK manufacturer of toilet tissues. And so we were able to work with the Egyptian authorities to make sure that that product was able to be exported still from Egypt to get to its rightful place in the UK so that that UK company could continue to manufacture. So things like that are happening all over the place all the time. And I would just encourage any UK company that is operating in Africa or has an African supply chain to get in touch with us at dit.africa@fco.gov.uk, and we will do our very best to help.
And I know you're very keen, just following on from that, we can come back maybe to coronavirus, but going forward, I know you personally are very passionate about supporting women in business in Africa. How do you see, do you see that as being able to continue in a very positive way?
Absolutely. I mean, absolutely essential. And, you know, the research plays out time and time again how important it is to have equality of access to economic opportunities for men and women in all of our societies. And in fact, when you empower women to start and build their businesses, actually the positive impact and the ripple effect of that into communities is enormous. And so it's beholden on all of us, I think, to support in whatever ways we can, getting more women, more girls and more women into the workforce and into positions of responsibility within workforces. And so, you know, in the margins of the Investment Summit, for example, I know you were there, Andrew, we
yes.
had this wonderful evening where we showcased just a dozen or so of Africa's extraordinary female entrepreneur talent. And to a room of investors and potential partners. And the vibe in the room is like nothing else.
We were on a path 2 months, 3 months ago. Given we're now potentially heading for global recession, or if you listen to Dr. Doom, depression, civil war, pandemic, and everything like that, do you think this is going to change the approach of UK firms and government to Africa? Do you think, for example, on the government side, there's going to be more focus on aid than trade now, or will it carry on the path we had before?
Well, I think it's a really interesting question. The reality is, I think no one is entirely sure how this is going to play out. But what we are doing in the British government is we're looking at all the different angles that we have, all the levers, all the relationships we have, and how can we make sure that every single aspect of what we do in Africa is pulling in the same direction and really helping African governments and African businesses survive and then recover and thrive. And I think it will be really challenging. So we're looking at through a number of different prisms. For example, across the Department for International Development, we're looking at all the multilateral programs and indeed the bilateral programs to see how we can refocus and potentially repurpose some of those so that they are looking to provide the best possible support for governments, for societies, for businesses over the crucial weeks and months ahead. And really seeing how we can connect that into, you know, the continuation of economic development, because of course aid is going to be absolutely critical to the next few months. But we also know that trade is the only sustainable way to, you know, create and sustain jobs and help pull people out of poverty. So in addition to that work, we're also doing something on the multilateral level. So, for example, okay. we're leading work in the G7 to really coordinate the support for vulnerable countries. And we've been really working with the international financial institutions, for example, on their sort of capital replenishment.
You're a great proponent of the SMEs in Africa, which obviously in small and medium-sized businesses, which are both from the UK and in Africa, are fundamental to the future prosperity of the continent and also the UK, of course. What are the UK doing to support SMEs? Because this is a shockingly difficult time for SMEs, both in the UK and in Africa.
Yeah, absolutely. This is really tough stuff. The UK government has announced a whole range of support for SMEs in the UK,
yes.
including exporters, to try to ensure that business continues, commerce continues, and that we're not seeing dramatic disruptions to supply chains. But we're also working with African governments and African businesses to see what more we can do, to, for example, ensure that exports of essential materials continues to enable production runs to carry on, to address the challenges of lockdown and the impact that is having on the ability to move vegetables and flowers and fruit and so on from Africa to
Because I see that Kenya, the Kenyan farmers are destroying tons of flowers every day at the moment, and they've had tens of thousands of people put out of work already. So it's very difficult times, I guess.
It is, and it's, you know, it's heartbreaking to see. And you know, all over the world, we're seeing this happen as demand slumps. And you know, our key focus really is to talk to our businesses to understand what challenges they are facing, both in terms of supply and demand, and indeed financing, and figure out how best we can help them with all of those challenges.
And Emma, there's a lot of players in the UK public sector for Africa, and there's been a lot of different African ministers in the last few years. Are you confident that UK now has a settled and coherent strategy, speaking with one voice on our relationship with Africa at this critical time?
I think it's better now than it has ever been in my experience over more than two decades working in and with the UK government. What we're seeing really clearly is across the Department for International Development, Department for Business, Department for International Trade, and the Foreign and Commonwealth Office. We have new structures in place to ensure that we are as coordinated as we can possibly be, and that we're looking at every single angle and joining the dots so that what we offer is a coherent offer to companies and to our partner governments.
That's great to hear. So with that, I'd like to thank you, Emma Wade-Smith, UK Trade Commissioner for Africa. It's been an absolute pleasure, and thank you for your time on the A Perspective.
Always a pleasure, Andy.